Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It's been a really good show so far today, Mike. We were talking over the break about this movie, The Fourth Kind, and how it's a bit of a hoax and how you hated it and so many other UFO researchers hated it. But the one thing that they did indeed think was well portrayed in the movie was this overarching, terrified sensation that abductees experience during these events. And I found that to be a very interesting analysis, because one of my favorite parts of that film was when the psychiatrist lady is listening to a tape, like she was at home, allegedly, at home doing a little bit of work or something like that, and the tape was running, and then all of a sudden you hear this just paralytic, absolute blood-curdling, constant screaming coming out of her, just pure utter horror and terror coming out of her, and she didn't even know that she didn't, and you see her sitting here listening to this tape and the look on her face kind of thing. I was like, whoa.
Now, you know, and the script writers obviously had, you know, access to the literature, and there's so many UFO books available. So are you books written by either researchers or people having the first-hand contact experience? A lot of first-person stories out there. You know, in novelized form. Now, what's happening now is that people aren't really writing books the way they would have been a decade ago. They are just simply going online and writing their stories. So instead of going online, and I've actually, on my blog, I've created a collection of UFO abductee blogs or websites. So, you know, 10 years ago, you would open up a book, and that would have to go through an editing process and a writing process, and the book would have to get printed, and you'd have to go to the store and buy it, and, you know, it would take a year for the person to write it. So in the narrative of the book, the author would talk about their firsthand experiences, and they would say, when I got abducted that night, now 10 years ago, what you have now is you can click on to some sites, and it is not uncommon to check on these sites and have people say, I feel I got abducted last night. And so you're getting this raw, unfiltered data. It's a little sloppy. It's imperfect. But, you know, that's the job of the researcher, is to deal with that unfiltered data. And so I think that these first-person blogs, these first-person websites, the immediacy of the internet, which is a completely new phenomenon in the history of mankind, is having a huge impact on how people are telling their stories, and at the same time, how people are receiving their stories, how people are hearing their stories. Because, you know, from my direct experience, I have received very little backlash as far as me telling my own personal experiences.
Well, it's interesting to notice that in terms of searches online, I don't know how many years ago that was that I heard this, and it might not be true today, but the most searched element on the internet is aliens and UFOs, followed closely by porn.
Well, it's difficult. I've heard the other way around. I mean, they're very close, side by side, those two in the search engine.
See, one's interested in the out-of-body experience and one's interested in the opposite experience. here's the other element that I find.
And I'll say both of them are kind of sneaky. Like, people don't want to admit they're reading UFO books and reading UFO sites and stuff like that. It is not something you talk about around the water cooler at the office. You don't talk about
it's
either
true.
Of them. Yeah.
It's true. Depending on where your office is or what water you're drinking. But
yeah.
The other element that I find particularly interesting is the denial aspect, because people are in absolute denial that there's any such thing as aliens. And how could you just say 100% that with the size of the universe, that is well documented, known, and scientifically proven, that the universe is really freaking huge, that there's copious quantities of planets out there that are just like ours, that can easily support life and so on and so forth. How in the frack could you be so naive, so foolish to believe that there's absolutely no intelligent life of any kind out there whatsoever, that over millions of years or billions of years of the creation of the universe has no a possibility of ever developing technology for transferring themselves from one part of the galaxy to another without aging themselves, like, to so on and so forth. I mean, it's within the realms of possibility as far as I'm concerned, because if you've got infinite possibility, there's virtually nothing that doesn't fit within that realm.
Now, so it seems like every week, you know, you see a news story that, like, oh, the universe is bigger than we thought, or that there's more, what do they call it, planets that have, that are in the Goldilocks belt, you know, that, that are potentially habitable. Oh, we found more of them. Oh, and then it's just, it's like, it's multiplying. It's changing exponentially every time you peek back into it. Now, the same thing is happening when you look at the very small. You know, people are looking through microscopes, and they're coming up with the same, it's almost the same stuff. They're saying, oh, you know, here's what we thought, how small could be, but it's really even smaller. And at the same time, on, you know, so it's going, you know, you're looking at the very big, you're looking at the very small, and at the same time, you're looking at the, oh, you know, the people are saying, like, oh, you know, we, you know, theoretically, you know, other dimensions were just like a, something that we would hypothesize, and, you know, like, it was just like the stuff that physicists would, you know, contemplate. But now it seems that every time you look at the news, there's like, oh yes, there's multiple dimensions, there's multiple realities, and oh, and then that, you know, like, you know, what's the actual reality of the black hole? So all of these aspects of what we define as reality, big, the small, the multiverse, the, you know, the how things can potentially be taking place side by side, time itself, all of these things are previous constructs are just crumbling.
There's nothing new under the sun, allegedly. And what I find interesting is that people have forgotten that. They've forgotten that these things may have been discovered before, and that humanity, through some form of disaster way back in the day, whatever knowledge that we had previous to these kind of experiences, these kind of phenomenon, even advanced technology, has simply been lost and forgotten about, and only now we're rediscovering it. And it's interesting you say, like, it's as above, so below, is the old saying. And, you know, so the universe is infinite. So what, people say? Well, you have a look at a photograph of the of a human brain cell, and it has the precise structure of the entire of what scientists believe is the entire structure of the universe, and it is completely independent of each other. Okay, so it's the micro down to the macro, but at the same time that it goes up and down, it also goes sideways into different dimensions, timescapes, realities, and things like that. There's infinite possibility out there. I scarcely believe that anybody can be sure about anything that they think they know at any point in time these days, considering how much we know that we don't know.
And when I go down this rabbit hole, and, you know, people, like, you know, say, like, oh, what, you know, like, I even use the, you know, like, I struggle with the word real now. You know what I mean? Like, what is the, you know, like, oh, well, you know, like, well, there was real evidence found in, you know, somebody's backyard was a burn mark or something like that. I was like, wait a minute, what does real mean? You know, like, I can get so lost in the enormity of the mystery that it can be paralyzing at times, you know? And then at the same time, you know, like, you can only hold this reality in your mind for seemingly just like a fleeting moment, you know? And if you, it, you know, like, oh, wait a minute, this really happened. You know, that kind of thought, you can't sustain that. You know, you got to brush your teeth. You got to, like, take out the garbage. You got to make sure, you know, you take the cat to the veterinarian and stuff like that. You know, all these things will invade that moment of clarity. That's just like a fleeting little glimpse. And I think in a way we're almost hardwired not to believe or not to want to explore the monumental or the divine or the magnificent. You know, we're hardwired to explore the mundane, you know?
Well, you have to have something happen to you, in my opinion, that makes you question your reality before you really start questioning it. You know, you can't just walk around and have everything absolutely 100% normal your entire existence, and then for no particular reason whatsoever start exploring the mystical, start exploring fringe science and so on and so forth. It just doesn't happen. People don't have that kind of motivation, and what television and entertainment and things like this have been doing to people, I believe, is distracting them from the possibility of what things can really be like and what they truly are, so that it keeps them in this little tiny box, which people call reality.
And, you know, I mean, that little tiny box is it doesn't take much. I mean, I will say that that experience with the owls, with Kristen and I, that box collapsed for me. Like, I recognized, we both recognized that we had experienced something so out of the ordinary, and it had this vibe. I mean, in the moment, it was spine tingling how magical it was. We had experienced something so unusual, and that experience, you know, what happened is, it was interesting. The box fell apart. I went about my daily life, and the little sides of the box kind of reassembled themselves, and I got kind of stuck in the box again. And then another experience would happen with owls or with the synchronicity. And so I think this plays out with other folks too, who've had profound experiences. People who had the near-death experience also tell almost the exact same story, where they'll come back from being dead, and their paradigm will have been expanded profoundly. Little by little, the box will reassemble itself. It's a fight, I think, to keep that box pushed away and knocked down.
Mm. Well, you know, I don't think that thinking inside the box has ever freed anybody's mind. That's my belief. I could be wrong. Maybe living in pure denial at all times and dismissing everything that you don't currently believe as crazy is a good thing. I don't know. I doubt it, though. Because as far as I'm concerned, the Earth, the people on it, and the universe, and all the science and everything that we've currently got access to is so infinitely complex that to try and fit it into something, try to pigeonhole it and give it a label, is an exercise in futility. Mike Cleland is my guest, ladies and gentlemen, and you can check out his website. I believe it is hiddenexperience.blogspot.com. Hiddenexperience.blogspot.com. We'll see you again sometime, folks.